An early happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I pray that this week will be extremely pleasant for all of you as you gather together with family and friends and celebrate Thanksgiving. And what a joy it is to be part of this congregation and the thankfulness that we have in our lives for our brothers and sisters. Amen and amen. If you're a child and you have not received a children's bulletin, it's something new here at Little Swatara. On the left side in the back of the sanctuary before the pews is a table that has the bulletins for each Sunday. There's going to be two different age groups, ages 3 to 6 and 7 to 12, and they'll try to follow the same message in scripture that I'm going to be using for that week. So if you haven't picked up one, there'll be someone in the back there that'll hand one to you. Again, we just encourage the children to use them, and it'll help to guide them as we're going through the sermon time and other components of the worship service. We do want to just highlight a few things in the bulletin. We're celebrating a new chapter in the life of teens today. We'll be presenting them with their teen study Bibles. So we look forward to that time in our service this morning. And we have a special need from the mission and evangelism team. If you are interested in changing the sign, it's out front of the church. And you're willing to help with that, please just let Pat Timmons know, and she'd be glad to put you on the list, and she'll give you instructions how to change the sign, and that would be wonderful if you could volunteer to do that. I believe Emma's here this morning, has an announcement about Angel Tree gifts, so I'll invite Emma, if someone can get her a microphone, and she can highlight the Angel Tree gifts. You'll notice those out in the narthex area. So if we could just get her a microphone, and we just want to highlight some of the birthday boxes that are out in the narthex for Linda Heisey and for Daryl. If you could bless them with a birthday card, we would greatly appreciate that as we celebrate their birthdays and many others this week. Yes.
Okay, the Topaukin High School Community Service Club is doing a charity service this year called Angel Tree. It's through the Salvation Army, and basically, they give out cards, and each card has a child in need on it, and you can buy Christmas presents for them because they won't get any from anyone else. And we need as many volunteers as possible. The information is out on the narthex table. The cards are all out there, and there's bins to put the gifts in. The due date is December 1st, so anyone who wants to help out would be greatly appreciated.
All right, we truly appreciate the opportunity to be able to bless others. So on your way out, if you want to just grab one of those Angel Tree gift cards that you might be able to go shopping this week. Who doesn't want to go shopping on Black Friday, right? It's the best day of the year to go shopping and find some gifts for those children. And let's bless the children this year and get those back. Should we bring them back here to the church? That would probably be where they would come back before December 1st. That'll be quickly upon us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We do have the poinsettias that are going to be for sale. They're $6.50, and again, they come in red, white, or marbled, so we'd encourage you, if you haven't purchased a poinsettia, they'll be placed up here during the Christmas season for our viewing pleasure, and it's always great to see the poinsettias and just the Christmas season upon us. But first, let's celebrate Thanksgiving this week. Any other announcements this morning that we'd like to highlight? Men's breakfast this month, for the month of December. We're not going to be having a monthly December men's fellowship or November. So November and December we're foregoing because of the holidays are right at that same time frame. So enjoy your family time, men, and we'll see you in January. It's hard to believe Thanksgiving and Christmas are already upon us. Where did the time go? So any other announcements? All right, I invite you to stand and greet one another as we prepare for our opening hymn, We Gather Together. invite you at this time to share any joys or concerns that are on your heart. We did just receive an update from a relative, Anna Mary's in a lot of back pain today, so we would appreciate your prayers for her ongoing strength and just encouragement on these days where it's often difficult for her to be able to maneuver, and just a lot of pain happening in Anna Mary's life right now, so we appreciate your prayers for her. Others that would like to be highlighted this morning.
I'd like to request a prayer for Carol. She's in the hospital, the Reading Hospital. She's dealing with complications from surgery.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to say a huge thank you for all the cards and visits and meals and prayers and everything the congregation has been lifting me up. I am getting better. I'm still not 100%, but every day is a little better. So thank you for the continued prayers.
Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for all the nice cards I received for my birthday, and I'm just so thankful for the congregation here. Bless each one of you for sharing with me, and thank the Lord for this Thanksgiving season. Help us to remember the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I have a blessing this morning. My one grandson, who I haven't seen since he was a baby, will be coming to my home for Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Yes.
And also, there's a lady, a client of ours at Barter. She has issues throughout her whole body. Her name is Angela Black, and I said I will put her on my prayer list, and I also asking to have her put in the prayer list.
Thank you. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to encourage, to bless one another. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that you offer us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price for our sins on the cross. Father, we know that illness has stricken many. We know severe pain that people are going through in this very hour. But Father, we also know that you are the master physician. And we know, Lord God, that your healing touch can be placed upon them, and in an instant they can be healed. So Father, if it be your will, we're praying for that special touch to be upon those on our hearts and on our prayer concerns this day. Father, we think of those being persecuted, our Nigerian brothers and sisters, and ask for peace. Lord, we pray that you would shine your light into the darkness, and that you would help your love to spread through your people, that we would continue to be a person who is signified by his forgiveness. So Father, we think of Carol this morning as well, and just pray for your healing touch upon her. And for Angela, Lord, we pray for your healing upon her as well. And we think of Anna Mary and the others on our prayer list this morning, Jim and Dorothy and Roberta and Carol and Bonnie Shaw and Jen and Michael and Pete and the refugee crisis in Europe, and Larry, and Denise, and Jess, and Linda, and Bear, and Leonard, and Catherine. And we just pray, Lord, your hand, your touch would be upon them. We're just so thankful, Lord, for the many things you provide in our lives. But when we suffer, when we struggle, we know, Lord, it's you we need the most. So we pray during those times we would seek you out. We would realize that you're more than enough, that you'll meet our needs if we just submit to you and surrender. So, Father, in this time of thanksgiving, we just turn to you during these next few moments and say thank you for the many blessings we have in our lives. But we also come to you, Lord Jesus, with our confessions of sin. And we ask, Lord, for your forgiveness during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we recognize that there are opportunities in our lives to share your word with others. But Father, we know also that fear grips us, that we're afraid to speak the truth that you have laid upon our hearts. So Father, we're just asking for boldness. We're asking that we would be able to live lives that would reflect you. And we pray, Lord, that your forgiveness would just cleanse us and allow us to be free from any bondage that we feel this day. And that we would live a life that's reflective of your Son. Thank you, God, for being here in this place. Thank you for your presence among your people. And we pray your Holy Spirit would move in our midst. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'd like to invite the teens forward. We have a Bible presentation for those teens, so we invite the teens to come forward and share in this very special time. We'd also like to invite the parents to join them. I'm sorry, the parents to join as well. In Luke 2:41, it reads, "Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' 'Why were you searching for me?' he asked. 'Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Today is an important step in your faith journey. You have entered the teenage years, a time of change, a time for potential growth.
As you church people will support you in your journey of life and in the study of God's word. To guide you further, we present each of you with a teen study Bible to receive the word of God, learn its stories, and study its word. Its stories belong to us all, and these words speak to us all. Tell us who you are, and they tell us that we belong to one another, for we are people of God.
Okay, at this time, we'll present your teenage study Bibles to you, and I'll ask you to just repeat after me as we receive these Bibles. Repeat after me. We receive these Bibles, with our hands,
our hearts,
our and our minds.
We will read and study
the Bible together. Parents, would you repeat after me? We promise to support you.
We promise to support you.
In these years.
In these years.
We uplift you.
We uplift you.
Daily in prayers.
Daily in prayers.
We come alongside you.
We come alongside you.
To study the Word together.
To study the Word together.
And congregation, would you repeat with me? We rejoice in this step.
In your journey with God.
We pray God will guide you.
Your family and us.
As you use this Bible.
In your home.
In Sunday school.
And in our worship.
We will learn together.
And grow in our love.
For God's word.
Amen.
We know that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May it be so as you journey into these teenage years. Be blessed and know that we are praying for you, we are supporting you, and we are always available if you ever have any questions as you study. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for these teenagers. Thank you for this new chapter in their lives. We know that these can be trying times. They can be difficult times for these teens. But Lord, we know your word is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. So Father, we're just praying that you would illumine in their lives through the Holy Spirit your word. That you would allow them to grasp it, to understand it, to grow in wisdom. And to be able to make a difference in their circle of friends and in their circles of life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congratulations, guys. Welcome to the teenage years.
Thank you.
In Matthew 19:29, as our offertory thought this morning, it reads, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Jesus is assuring us this morning that anyone who gives up something valuable for his sake will be repaid many times over. We give to God freely from our finances, and in his wonderful provision, he supplies all that we need. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your provisions in our lives. We thank you for the gift of life, knowing that as we believe upon your Son, Jesus Christ, we too one day shall enter our kingdom eternal. So, Father, we pray that we would be able to present our offerings this morning as a gift from a cheerful heart, to be able to use with wisdom to guide and to follow your path for this church and our lives. So thank you for each giver. Bless them and allow them to know that your provision is upon them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
like to invite all the children to come up front with me. Do any of you guys like to watch game shows on television?
Yeah.
Yes? I have always been a big fan of this one game show. It's called Let's Make a Deal. On the show, contestants would be given a chance to trade a prize. They're given a prize, and then they're able to trade it. So they can either keep what they have or trade for what's in bag 1, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes they win a great prize, sometimes they end up with a terrible prize. Do you want to play the game to see how it works?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, I have one Tootsie Roll. You got one Tootsie Roll. Would you like to trade for what's in bag 1? Yes. Now you have one Smartie. Would you like to keep that one Smartie or trade for what's in bag 3? Now you have two Smarties and I get one Smartie back. Would you like to keep that one Smartie, those two Smarties, or trade for what's in bag 2? Now you have five Smarties. It doesn't always work like that though. But that one turned out well, didn't it? Unfortunately, in life, it doesn't happen like that. Sometimes people go through things in life and make a big deal and try to build up more and more wealth. And they think the more money and possessions they have, the better, the happier they'll be. Jesus warned us about it. He said, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He then told the story of a man whose land had produced so much grain that he had no place to store it. Even though he had plenty, he wanted more. He decided he was going to tear down his barn and build a bigger one. Jesus said the man was a fool, for when his life was over, he would leave everything behind. He would leave the world with nothing. Life is not always a TV game show, and God does not always make deals. God has promised to supply us with all our needs, but he has not promised to fulfill every selfish wish. Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to be content with the blessings which you so generously give us, and help us to be on guard against selfishness and greed. Amen. I have a prize for all of you for coming. I have Tootsie Rolls. Not as big of a prize as Smarties, but still it's a prize. You win something in the end at this. Just pass the bag down. Choose one.
Technology is awesome when it works. We apologize that the video was not able to play this morning, but it was just the scripture. It is going to play. Here we go, folks.
And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with those who store up things for themselves, but are not rich toward God.
I wonder how many of us this Thanksgiving Sunday would use that word fool to describe ourselves. Is there any part of us that takes God's blessings for granted? We receive daily from God's hands, and has it ever crossed our minds where those blessings come from? You know, it's much easier to complain about what we don't have than to be truly thankful for what we do. My prayer as we consider this parable of the rich fool is that we seek the Lord with grateful hearts, that we bless him in every way for everything at all times and in all places. It's an opportunity we don't want to miss. Living the thankful life changes our perspective. There's this legend that speaks of a king whose servant was also his best friend. And one day the king presented him with a golden bell, saying, if you ever find a greater fool than yourself, give this to that person. Years passed by, and the king was lying on his deathbed. The king called for his servant and told him that he was going on a long journey and that he was ill prepared. The friend replied, is this an unexpected journey? To which the king said, no, quite the contrary. I've been forewarned of this for many years, but I've been so occupied with the government and the pleasures of this world, I've given it little thought. Upon which the servant silently handed the king the golden bell. He had finally found a greater fool than himself. The difficult truth is this. We too find ourselves spending more time preparing for this life than we do the next. Yet at any moment, we could be like the king or the rich fool with our lives being demanded. The question to ask ourselves this morning is whether this life is that important that we neglect the eternal life where we'll spend eternity apart or with God. When our focus is on our relationship with him and not our own concerns, we begin to accept the fact that nothing belongs to us. All things exist for the glory of God. With that in mind, we enjoy life more fully as thankful people for a God who is all that we need. Now notice, if the scripture could be placed on the screen, the inward thoughts of the rich fool. We hear the words I and my, and his plans to take life easy after building bigger barns and storing his surplus grain, rather than using his excess to bless others. Friends, it's an honor, it's a privilege, and something to be quite thankful for, to be considered God's steward of his creation. You see, when we start to think in these terms, the word grateful and the phrase accountable to God becomes increasingly important. The future revelation of what is presently hidden, the reminder that our life and death is in the hands of God, creates this sense of urgency within us to live for him. There's not one single possession that can change this. It's God that we give the glory. For the true disciple, for the true follower of Christ, death is not anything to fear. It's the assurance from our salvation that we are most thankful. You see, those who are preoccupied with immediate concerns are in great danger of missing what ultimately matters. When our priority becomes earthly gain, we risk losing true life. And when that day comes, those stored up possessions will remain behind. They simply will not get us any further with God. So often it appears that we're held captive to the needs of this earth. What shall we wear? What's there to eat? And amidst our ponderings, we forget the richness that is found in Christ alone. All of him is more than enough for all of us. And as we mature through life, we learn that critical word, contentment. We learn what it means to be thankful in the plenty and to be thankful in the need. We have discovered solace in simplicity, for we know that the brethren way is to live simply, peacefully, and together. And we know that all we really need is Jesus. His supply is more than enough. He satisfies us with his love. So we ask ourselves, how did it all come down to this? Are marketers that good that we can't help ourselves? Or could it be more about self-control? Black Friday is only a few days away, and the test will truly come. And anxiety and stress builds this week. Will we make it in time to get that perfect discounted gift? But friends, God is calling us to rest in him. As we celebrate Thanksgiving Sunday, may we be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. His mercy, his means of grace. Today's final parable before entering the Advent season. Jesus is being interrupted by someone wanting to resolve a family dispute over inheritance. He wasn't really looking for advice. He only wanted Jesus to stand on his side. And verse 13 of Luke 12 says, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It sounds to me like all he wanted was Jesus to get the money for him. But Jesus saw the real issue in his heart. And I believe it's becoming an increasingly common problem in the world today. We call it greed. So he uses this opportunity to warn us of the danger of placing one's confidence in earthly possessions. This story is entirely too relevant to us today. Who doesn't want to take life easy and live that good life? It's ingrained to us that the more, the merrier. This man in our parable, as Phil from Duck Dynasty would say, is happy, happy, happy. Who wouldn't be? He's had the harvest of a lifetime. So much so, we read that he needed to build bigger barns. The returns were coming in like rainfall. It's the essence of life for many people today. To be on top of the world, to look into our accounts and see the overabundance. Nobody is raising their hands and saying, "Let me be poor." But how much richer are they that can live in thanksgiving and contentment with what God provides? You see, this rich fool was enjoying life a bit too much, and he had no clue what was about to happen to him. Verse 19 says it all. "I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God has something to say about it. And it's very plain. It's very easy for us to understand. Verse 15 puts it in perspective. It reads, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And friends, this is where we become confused. We're not entirely certain of that word enough. Even Google can't help us. It defines enough as much or as many as required. It says to the required degree or extent. And it gets a little closer to a moderate degree, fairly. So we're left wondering who gets to define those parameters. And in our hearts, we know it's not us, but it is God who says, "I am all that you need." So on our own, there's never a time where we're really ever able to say, "That's enough." Now, perhaps as Thanksgiving approaches, we may be able to say enough when the dish is too full and we can't fit another scoop of Rocky Road ice cream. Or maybe our cup's overflowing with that extreme pleasurable mix of fruit punch and Sprite. Or those gas prices that continue to come down and we can't fit another drop into our tank at that incredibly low price. But again, the ultimate question we ask ourselves this Thanksgiving Sunday is, when is enough enough? It's much easier with food because our bodies tell us. If we eat one more bite, we know we're going to explode. And in just a few more days, this theory will pass, and there'll be many among us whose tummies are hurting just a bit. But with material wealth, it's our heart. It's our mind that informs us through Christ. And as long as we have other people to compare ourselves to, we'll never be satisfied. There'll always be someone with more. Again, I've said it before, and it boils down to this word called competition. It's no different than in Jesus' day. For the Epicureans, it was eat, drink, and be merry. Perhaps you've seen that bumper sticker that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." This has more meaning than we realize. But friends, since when does material wealth define us? We're not like that rich fool. We're very much aware we can't take anything with us when we die. But have our barns become too full? So to answer this age-old question, we look to our priorities. Where is our focus? Is it on stuff, the accumulation of wealth, or is it geared toward God, self-service or serving others? Think about that for a moment. Can we say to ourselves this morning that God is all we need? In reality, how much of what we own could we really part with? And we'd never even miss it. Can we say we are truly grateful for all that we have? Or does that voice still ring in our heads that says, "That's not enough. You need more"? But herein lies the problem for the rich fool. He doesn't know what's about to happen. His time is up. Jesus doesn't say how he died that night, only that it was the end of the road for him, and that all that storage he was about to put in bigger barns would be in vain. You see, that was the problem with the Epicureans. And friends, somewhere within ourselves, could that be our problem as well? We can live for the next great adventure all we want, but we never know when the sand will run out in our hourglass. We never know when the clock will strike zero on our lives. Friends, what if we focused more on the eternal than the present? That day won't come as a surprise at all. But then how shall we live? Jesus' answer is to be rich toward God. Live life as though tomorrow may never come. Be thankful for what we have. Turn to God, who is our supply, who is our breath of life. It's a matter of perspective. What would we change if we knew tomorrow would never come? And why haven't we made those changes? Life is more than this fleeting moment. May we, friends, set our minds on things above. May we recognize every good and perfect gift that comes from God. May we live like God is all we need and more than enough. This Thanksgiving, these are some things to think about. Amen.
Rise to your feet. We praise thee, O God, 99.
God of all life, we thank you for the signs of your love that surround us, for sun and warmth and all that comes to life within creation, for all that sleeps within the earth awaiting birth. We praise you for the wisdom of your care, water on the earth, sunlight on our spirits, hands on blinded eyes. Continue to touch us, reach out to us with compassion and forgiveness, that we may receive your gifts, that we may know your love and grace, and rise to new life in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.